time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Okay. This is a random song that I just blindly uploaded here. Welcome to the Dupree Show. Out here on a fine Tuesday. Not bad. I'm trying to think what genre this could be. I mean, kind of lo-fi sounding, you know what I mean? About to go to the grocery store. Get me some of that paper. Talking ATM. Cash. Deposits. Saying stuff on beats kind of takes you a second to get in cadence with it. So yeah, dude. I was thinking we get a little more focused on this show, man. Get it locked in a little more. Thought I'd start coming to y'all with four main things every week that we'll cover. And maybe we'll sneak some stupid videos in there. What have you. Might just do separate podcasts for that too. Haven't figured it out. But we're going to talk about four things today. We're going to talk about sales. We're going to talk about investing. We're going to talk about health. And we're going to talk about football. So I picked some things. We're going to start, I think, with some live sales calls. Just go on TikTok, blindly pick them, and see what we think. So we'll go from there. Read an interesting piece about why a bear market could be good for your portfolio. So I'm going to talk about that. And then I found this really decent blog post about the medicinal benefits of various species of mushrooms. It's part of my regimen. Something I'm passionate about. So we'll take a look at it. And then lastly, man, you know, I can't not include football on this show, man. just can't not do it. So I figured we'd get into some film study this week. Obviously, free agency is in full swing in the NFL right now. And the Bengals finally did it. And I'm always the first person to hammer my Cincinnati Bengals. But let me tell you, brother. Let me tell you. The media was going to shit on them either way. The media has started to take a liking to dumping on the Cincinnati Bengals. And I understand the root of it because I don't think the organization's operated in an optimal capacity for the majority of its history. Not since Paul Brown. And so the media is just picking up kind of what the fans have been lamenting for years and years and years. But the media knows that if they write articles hating on whatever the Bengals do, people are going to read it and their pocket's going to be fatter. So, man, it's like you kind of come to a conclusion with a narrative about the Cincinnati Bengals that is probably being perpetuated too much. I'm talking about, oh, well, the Bengals, they should have paid Jamar and T last year and gotten a good deal on him. Let's think about this for a second. T. Higgins' contract is the same as Jaylen Waddle's contract. I believe the figures are the same. Jaylen Waddle, the Miami Dolphins. Great receiver out of Alabama. Small, shifty guy. You get him out in space, can make some plays. But he wasn't a factor in their offense last year, Miami Dolphins. He just, like, look at it however you want to, whatever emotion behind it. Objectively, I just didn't see a lot of production from him in 2024, Jaylen Waddle. And Miami paid Jaylen Waddle a year ago. And Cincinnati just got T. Higgins at the same price. It's funny, man. Nick Wright is a guy. Nick Wright, I think he's over at FS1. I don't even know what really. I think he's on some Fox show. He's got his own. I don't watch it. The only thing I see is the clips on Twitter. So maybe I should go do my research. Nonetheless, he's actually who I heard that last objective truth from. Tell you the real honest to God. But he said that Miami did this same thing where they pay the quarterback, they pay their top two receivers, and it's not working out. But I just don't think you could put that cookie cutter deduction. It's not black and white. It's very gray. And I personally think Jamar Chase and T. Higgins add a lot more value to their team as it stands than Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle does. And Tua and Joe Burrow at this point are not even comparable. That's objective reality. Not in the same stratosphere. I'd take Burrow over anybody, but... So the point I'm making is that the media has now gotten to this place where if they don't write articles dumping on the Bengals, you know, their damn click-through rate's going to be affected negatively, in my opinion. So if the Bengals didn't pay Jamar and T, they're cheap. But when they do pay them, "Oh my God, your cap hit for three players is 46% of your salary cap or whatever the hell." If you go and pay three football players in the world that much money, those three guys on the Cincinnati Bengals, I'm going to take. You understand? I'm going to take because it's not cookie cutter. It's not black and white. Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, pretty similar players in regards to the skills they bring to the offense. Yes, two smaller, shiftier, fast guys. With Jamar, I think you got the whole package with him. And then you give him a taller, lankier type of receiver opposite of him. And then you got a quarterback like Joe, who seems mentally impenetrable. I think it's about varying skill sets in an offense. I don't know. I'm not saying Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle are the same player, but they're a lot more similar than Jamar Chase and T. Higgins are, at least in regards to their build and what they're good at. You know, T's got great feet. Jamar's got good feet, but I'd maybe put T's feet above Jamar, his footwork. I don't know. And then Jamar, I think Jamar's got a mental edge too, because there's been a ton of athletes that are built like him. You know, he doesn't look like Megatron out there, but he's a stout ass guy. Obviously, pro football player. But yeah, man. So fired up about. I'm pretty fired up about Jamar Chase and T. Higgins getting those deals done. Now they can move their focus to Trey, and frankly, on the defensive side of the football, Cincinnati's going to have one of the best drafts they've had in decades for that defense to even be functional, and that's assuming if you re-sign Trey. I don't know about my outlook for the 2025 Bengals season if you don't re-sign Trey at this point. They have not really acted in free agency. They signed a linebacker. I think he was a two linebacker from the Eagles, Oren Burks. Apparently the guy stepped up in the Super Bowl. I think he had like five or six tackles in the Super Bowl. So it was pretty good. You know, that's what you want. You want a linebacker that's going to tackle and step up in big moments. And so hopefully that guy can step up and be a leader on defense. They signed a guy named TJ Slayton, interior D lineman from Green Bay. And the peculiar thing about him is that Pro Football Focus graded him as one of the best run defenders in the league, and I believe it was ESPN graded him as one of the worst run defenders in the league. And don't know if I'll have time to sit down and watch his film. That'd be something I'd be real interested in doing. Maybe we break that down at some point on here. But interior defensive lineman, they re-signed B.J. Hill. That's good. I just hope that – I don't know how old he is. I know he's probably at least 30. So hoping – I mean, interior D-line, man, three technique, five technique, that's brutal work, man, in the trenches. You're hitting every single play. There's not as much space between a D-lineman and offensive lineman, so, you know, less hard hits than a linebacker, but volume is there, you know. Yeah, so many moves. Devontae Adams headed to the Rams. Cooper Kupp's headed to Seattle. Sam Darnold is new quarterback in Seattle. Geno Smith headed to Las Vegas Raiders to reunite with Pete Carroll, who's their new head coach. Trying to think, there's just so many other. Debo Samuel headed to the Washington Commanders. I knew that, and just many, many other signings. It's been pandemonium, and like I said, man, the Cincinnati Bengals have not participated. The Cincinnati Bengals need two guards. They need a balanced thing. They need safeties. Could probably afford to add a corner. Could probably afford to add another backer. I don't know about Logan Wilson, man. I mean, like a linebacker is another brutal position in the sport on your body. And so those guys tend to deteriorate a lot faster. I think he's getting into his mid to late 20s. And, you know, you saw it with Sam Hubbard. Guy just retired at 29 years old. I think there's a lot more factors there than just age and health, longevity. But, yeah, you see guys retiring early. So hopefully Logan Wilson doesn't fall off that wagon. Yeah. That's – we'll interest of time, we'll cut it there. Because your boy's got to go train in like 20 minutes. 20. Might have to come back, finish this thing up. Okay. So let's run some live calls. Let's see if we can buzz today. This is totally random. I have not seen these clips beforehand. So hopefully they check out.
Hello. Hi, is this Logan?
Yeah.
Hey, Logan, this is Clay over Roman Toyota. How's it going?
Doing well. How are you, Clay?
Very good, thanks. Hey, I saw that you put in a hard credit check on a new 24 Tundra. Just ready to see if you're ready to move forward with it.
Mm. Yeah, I was mainly online just taking a look.
Dude.
Hello, this is Clay.
Hey, Clay, this is Logan. I think we lost the next there.
Nope, I don't got bunny.
That's a skit, bro. It's totally a skit.
Hello, this is Clay from Toyota.
Did you just hang up on me again?
Yeah, you said you were just looking.
Yeah, so well, I'm just looking.
Okay.
Dude, he's gonna call him again. This is.
Hello, this is Clay.
Hey Clay, this is Logan. You can't just keep hanging up on me because. That's not how this works. I get to hang up on you. You don't get to hang up on me.
Waste of time.
Just block him then, dude. Must be interested.
The Tundra? I told you I was looking, dude.
So is he going to close him? This dude's just, I mean, it's a skip. This dude's a psycho.
Hello, this is Clay.
Get the documents ready. Get everything ready. I'm coming in. I'm buying the truck.
No, yeah.
Stop, bro. Get it. You won't.
10 minutes?
10 minutes. I'll be there. I'm buying all of your trucks.
Okay, I'll have everything ready.
Okay. That was a skit, very clearly. Let's see if we can get a real one. All right, this looks real.
Hey, how are you, Jim?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. I can't complain. Yeah, I was just wondering who I could speak to that's in charge of the marketing of your company.
Yeah, I handle some of the marketing, so I can probably answer your questions.
Hmm.
Love it. So I'll keep it short and sweet. We just helped a company just like yours turn about $5,000 in ad spend. It's about $150K in deals, and I'm pretty confident we can do the same thing for you. I was wondering if I could grab 10 minutes of your time, maybe later today, tomorrow, so I could give you a little insight in our process and show you exactly how we were able to do that.
Hmm. That's good.
Right now we have
marketing
team
that
does
the marketing, so I think we're pretty good right now.
100%. We typically work with companies that have in-house marketing teams. Our job isn't to replace what you got going on, instead enhance it. We could lower your cost per lead, get you quality, more quality leads in. Would that be worth about 10 minutes of your time?
Not bad.
Yeah.
Love it. And you have 10 minutes later today, maybe tomorrow, so we could sit down and have a little bit of a more formal conversation.
No, you just sort of said what time.
Check my calendar. Does tomorrow around the same time work?
Yeah.
Yep, that works for me. Get you booked in. Like I said, it's only 10 minutes. So what's the best email to send that calendar invite to?
He was filling himself. Yeah, it wasn't bad. Wasn't bad. There were some, I mean, just nitpicking. You know, he was saying, love it, love it. Those were kind of just fillers. So it sounded like he was selling marketing services. I've never experienced the nature of that business, but from the way my man's was kind of going about it, he seemed real transactional. So, and that might be what it is in that business. Cost per lead, can lower the cost per lead. Okay. You know, if I were on the other end of the phone, I'd be like, so how exactly do you do that? And it'd be interesting to hear his response to that. I mean, he obviously got the meeting, and I think, you know, these sales calls on TikTok are probably going to be mostly successes. It's probably, somebody's probably not going to have a shitty sales call and post it on TikTok. So let's see if we can find some good juice. Again, we're just looking in real time. I see Andy Elliott. What a savant.
Hey, good morning, Sierra.
Hmm.
How you doing, Sierra? This is Sean Rogers with Kaufman Kia. I'm just reaching out to see if anybody's gotten in contact with you. Are you still in the market for a car?
Hmm.
I am.
She could just say no.
What's going on?
I'm just paying way too much for the vehicle that I have now.
What you driving?
I don't like his tone.
I have a 2018 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Just looking to trade out of it? Okay.
And the gas is killing me.
I'm sure. That's a big. You got the 5.7 Hemi in it, or you got the 3.6 VVT?
I don't know. If that all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive, then
it's probably got the 5.7 in it. Regardless of anything, what's your weekend looking like? Did you have some time to stop by the dealership, sort some options out?
She could just say no, bro.
I'm actually in Cincinnati this weekend. I have a powerlifting meet, so.
Oh, wow.
Fake.
Listen, let's do this. What's your next week looking like? You got a busy schedule going on next week?
No,
what days work for you, morning or afternoon? Or,
okay.
I just fucked that up.
What's Monday looking like for you?
I have Monday off.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Got some time to come look at some vehicles.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Let's do Monday. Are you a morning person, afternoon?
There you go.
Okay, let's do this. We can do first thing about 9:30, or we can do a little later between like 11:45 and 12. Which one works better for you?
9:30.
Awesome, I'll get you set up for then, and I'll send you out a confirmation. That sound good?
Yes.
Awesome, listen, this is my direct line.
Good.
I'm Sean Rogers. I'm gonna be your sales advisor here on Monday. Just give me a call here if you have any questions, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. You have a good weekend. Good luck at your lifting. Yeah, bye now.
Yeah, it was good.
Bye.
And that's how sales call goes.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think pray 8 out of 10 people are not going to talk to that guy. But I mean, car sales is, it's hard. Car sales is hard. I've never sold cars before, but I mean, you're selling a depreciating asset. You know what I mean? It's kind of tough, and creating urgency would probably be pretty hard. But I mean, here's the thing. When you talk to salespeople, they're like, Hey, Linda. Oh, that's great, Linda. I'm glad you're having a great day. It's not going to work on a lot of people. It probably did in the 70s, 80s. Oh, little Jimmy over at the car dealership cares about my day. People aren't like that anymore. So, I mean, I think he sounded, you know, when salespeople get someone on the phone and they sound like real excited, the salesperson sounds real excited to talk to them. It's almost like this subconscious indicator in the prospect of like, this boy must be chomping at the bit to take my money. Fuck that. Fuck that. That's fucking disgusting. So, I mean, that tonality part is hard in sales because you have to balance sounding enthusiastic about what you do without acting overzealous. It's very nonchalant. People dig that energy. You know, chicks dig it too. It's just human nature. It's like, holy shit, you're the first woman I've talked to in 6 weeks. I'm so excited. How are you? You're so beautiful. I don't think this show has many female listeners, but if you do, comment what you think about somebody walked up to you and like that. You know? Okay, so we're running pretty short on time, boys and girls. I think this is going to be, you know, we'll see. I like what we're doing here. All right. So in terms of investing, here's the juice for the week. Okay. I read this article. It's talking about, hey, here's why a bear market can be good for your portfolio, your retirement portfolio. And I thought it was interesting. It's something I hadn't thought about a lot. Obviously, anybody who listens to this show that is an investor, you know what that feeling is like when you open your account and you see all red. It hurts. Doesn't feel good. Sometimes it's so bad that you start panicking. But if you are a dividend investor, you may have something to be a bit more enthusiastic about. See, when you invest in stocks that pay dividends, that's a percentage of the share price. So if I buy XYZ company at $100 for a share, an XYZ company pays a 1% dividend. A dividend is basically a company saying, hey, we appreciate you. We're going to take a little bit of bread out of our retained earnings, our income that we have kept as cash, and pay you 1% of your $100 share that you just bought from us. That's $1 a year. So, the reason that helps, well, let me make sure and gather my thoughts so that I can put this precisely and concisely. Let's say we run into a bear market, kind of like what we've been looking at the last couple weeks. Let's say that $100 share you bought is lower. Let's say it goes to $80. Still getting a 1% dividend. What happens in markets is when prices increase, yields decrease. So if I buy it, it's generally agreed upon that in a bull market, the economy is in good health, and therefore interest rates go down. The cost of borrowing money is cheaper because there's more money in the economy. So what that does is that allows companies to maybe not increase their dividend as much. Because some of them, they want to pay out a competitive rate of return. That's kind of my concept of it. And so basically, in short, it helps your dividend yield when the price of the stock goes down. And then on top of that, you're still getting your dividend, and you can reinvest the dividend into the stock at a cheaper price because it's beat up. That's the point I'm trying to make. So it wasn't something I had really thought about a lot. We invest our clients in dividend stocks. And I read this article and I was like, wait, in a bull market, your dividend would decrease? How does that make sense? And the answer I found was that over time, if the economy is booming, then interest rates on bonds are probably lower because the price of bonds is higher, because earnings from stocks might go into those bonds and inflate the price. And so naturally, I guess what happens, the deduction I made, I had to take a second to understand it. The deduction that I made was that if interest rates are lower, most companies won't raise their dividend yield. And so therefore, if the stock price is going higher and higher, let's say your this $100 share of stock you bought is now $120, still yielding 1%, you're not really keeping up as much. There's a gap, I guess, is the point of it. I'm still unhashing it myself. But the good news in a bear market for somebody who's invested in dividend paying stocks is that you're going to be able to still probably get a similar, like the company's going to keep paying you the dividend even if the stock price goes way down. And you're able to buy more shares of that stock at a cheaper price with that dividend yield. And you can set yourself up with a good income stream. Because if you're getting, I guess, and I read this, so I know it's true, if you're getting 6% yield on a stock and it goes down 50% and you buy more, the new shares you buy at that 50% reduced price now has a 12% yield. So I'll have to look into it a little more to really fully digest and understand how yields are affected in stock prices the same they are in bonds. The relation of price to rate of yield is inversely related. Okay. Damn, I got like 11 minutes, 15 minutes, something like that. I guess I could be a little late to training. I hate being late to training, though, dude, because then, you know, you got to find somebody and everybody's already got a partner. We'll see. We'll figure it out. Okay, onto the health juice of the week. How about you? It's a little blog I found about medicinal mushrooms. Okay, I think mushrooms are probably not just a psychoactive kind, the most underused medicinal nutritional compound in Western society and healthcare. I take them every day, and I think they've helped me a lot more than they've hurt me. Talking lion's mane. Lion's mane is apparently, and a lot of these are, they have something called adaptogens in them. And a lot of these definitions in this blog are very subjective. It says adaptogens are natural substances that help the body adapt to stress and promote homeostasis. So my question would be, how do they do that? It's probably, I wonder if it's physics or chemistry in regards to unpacking that statement practically. Okay, medicinal mushrooms like reishi, cordyceps, lion's mane, they support the ability to have a resilient body, physical, mental, and in relation to physical, mental, and environmental stressors. Not all mushrooms are adaptogens. Ashwagandha and rhodiola are examples of adaptogens that are not mushrooms. It's really weird. And the other thing too is that mushrooms aren't considered plants. They're actually more in relation, they're closer biologically to animals than they are plants, mushrooms. So the life force of these things, it just seems to be off the charts. When you eat some psilocybin, you know what I'm talking about. The energy you feel in your body, it's like it's palpably coursing through your torso area, at least for me. If psilocybin can do that to the body in a medicinal way, like it can, you have to think, what's the power of these non-psychoactive mushrooms? It's probably pretty vast. Reishi, known as the mushroom of immortality due to its longevity promoting compounds, stimulates the immune system. Anti-stress or adaptogenic, as I learned today, improves sleep quality and possesses cancer-fighting properties. Now, that last one is another kind of subjective statement. How does it fight cancer? What compounds do that, and how do they do it? Something I'd be interested to understand. Lion's mane. Pretty good. Stuff with brain health and cognition. And I think a lot of these mushrooms, if you cut them open, they look very similar to certain human structures that are biological. Chaga, grown on birch trees in cold climates, known as the king of medicinal mushrooms. Blood sugar balancing, immune support, supports skin health, aids digestion. So all these mushrooms I take every day. And I know that I can't explain how they've helped me other than the fact that I know factually, based on my experience, that I feel palpably worse when I don't take my mushroom supplements. It's very weird, the human body, because we are very adaptive. Like, you know, if I wanted to smoke meth in the street and eat 2 grams of protein a week, I'd probably find a way. My body would find a way to live for some time. You know, it's very adaptive. You see all the different people that you come across day to day, all the different walks of life, and you think, dude, that boy's eating Chips Ahoy for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. How in the fuck is he breathing? His body's adapting. And so that's the good side of it. The tougher side of the adaptability of the human body is that once we get in a state, let's say I stop working out for months, if my state of homeostasis is no longer regular exercise, my body's going to bring itself back, but it's going to be at an abbreviated version, a lower capacity than what I had when I was working out, but I'm not going to notice it because my body's adapted and that's homeostasis for me now. Whereas if I picked working out back up after a couple months of consistently doing that, I'm going to say, holy shit, man, I can't believe I let myself feel that way back when I wasn't working out. And that can apply to, like, dude, I put off buying more magnesium powder for bed for a month or two, and I'm on like day 3 or 4 of being back on the magnesium, and dude, I'm asking myself the same damn question. So all that to say, I feel that way about taking mushroom supplements as well. Very important. I think, however I can invest in that industry in the future, I'll be very bullish on it. Because I think there is a stigma. Even saying, hey, I take mushrooms every day. Like, what do you think when I just said that? The war on drugs. Drugs are bad. One toke of the marijuana smoke, and he goes crazy. That's my 60s, 70s voice. Why the fuck did people talk like that? Hey, why are you talking like that? You know what I mean? So yeah, that's a good little bit. And I'm running short on time. So guess what? And I got to pee. So I'm not going to rush y'all out of here, but I am going to hightail it here on the football film study. All right, let's do this. We're going over to Instagram. Saved. Where are we at with it? LB Film Study. So we're going to study linebackers and linebacker drills today, and maybe for the rest of time. So we got 2 drills and a live rep here, and then we'll send you on home. How's that sound? Florida Gators LB drill. Your angle shedding, so you're shedding a block at an angle, and then you're finishing with a tackle. Here we go. So you get off the block, wrap up. And he's under that little. So that's the second time we ran it. We're going to run it a couple more times. So he's under that little tent. And make sure he comes out low. And a lot of times, at least as a linebacker, I was tempted to do this a lot. I had this weird, I just didn't like, as a linebacker, like, I didn't like shooting my hands to get off the block. Because it sounds pussy, but it kind of hurt my hands, you know, and my wrists, it pushed back, especially big 320-pound guy that you're trying to. And to go on that point, as a linebacker, you're taking on a pulling 320-pound 6'6 guard. If I shoot my hands, it might stop him for a second if I really get a good punch right on his titty. But it's basically whose hands get inside first. And he's a lot bigger than me, so he might be able to pummel my arms out of the way, get inside on me, and I'm done. Me and my body and my skill set If a 320-pound 6'6 guard comes around and gets his hands right in between my armpits, hey, I'm your bitch for the next 1 second, 2 seconds. I'm making you eggs, you know, and I got no problem. It's like I've experienced it before. I remember in high school, Big Landon Young, great guy, just signed another contract with the Saints. Hey, he got his hands on inside, man. And guess where I was in 2 seconds? On my back with Big Dog on top in side control, ready to Ezekiel choke. I don't know if that's the right use of that choke logistically. Anyway, so I didn't like shooting my hands in there. I was always tempted to just scream downhill like a missile and get the crown of my helmet down a little bit, you know what I'm saying? A little bit of that. And just try and bang with my whole body, see if I can knock him down. It wasn't good for making tackles though, because I'm so loaded from, you know, addressing the block that I'm off balance, even if I get off of it. And then, you know, if you're off balance, it's going to be hard to make a tackle. Okay. Texas Longhorns live tackling drill. So this is about pursuit, right? You want to stay on that hip and you want to gather the legs. That's something I didn't know when I played football from wrestling that I know now. You gather those legs, and he didn't get it that time. That was a hip drop. Okay. Got his ass juked. He didn't stay on the hip. That was good. That was nice. And he wrestled into the ground. That's when you do a suplex. Gathered the leg. Sometimes in football, all you need is one leg. He squared up on him that time. And that's the thing. Thing about football tackling is, and my old teammate was talking about this on TikTok the other day, Amari, you got that like when you're 10 or more yards from the ball carrier, you're exploding, you're coming out, you got speed. But if you maintain that speed within 3 to 5 yards of the ball carrier as somebody who's trying to go and tackle, and that explosion, you're gonna miss. So in that 3 to 5, you want to start, you can't see my legs, but you want to start chopping your legs, breaking down, shuttling down, and then you explode into the tackle. See what I mean? Because then you can kind of stay, your feet are under you. You can kind of stay with them regardless of any moves they make. All right, I love y'all. I got to get the fuck out of here. So here's the last clip. Game rep. It's a scramble drill. So this is called plastering. If you see a linebacker as a QB spy, it's called plastering. Here you go. Hope this isn't copyrighted. Look at that. It's beautiful patience, and then he explodes. And one more time. Look, he's just creeping. All right, go. He stayed on the hip, got the legs. You know, his angle could have been a little better, but he made the play, gathered the legs. All right, I really got a piss. Like, subscribe, comment. Please, God, helps the show. Most of y'all that are watching this probably don't subscribe. Go ahead and hit that button. Smash that button, baby boy. It helps the show out a lot. I'll never ask anything else of you, ever. So go ahead and smash that subscribe button. Comment. Let us know what you think about this show format. Hit the like button. Bare goddamn minimum, boy. And love y'all. We'll see you next week.